Welcome back to the Mummy Dearest podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s, and today. Before we get started, would you like to double your Mummy Dearest content? Sign up for our Patreon, where you can pay as little as $5 a month for up to 4 episodes. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Mellon and Sloan Steele.
And we have a very special guest with us tonight, and I'm going to say her name very correctly, Keerthana Ramasetti.
And you did.
Yay. Yes.
And thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you guys.
We're of so course. Happy to have you. We have this all came about because Keerthana and I have a mutual friend in common, Miss Jen Winston, who is a national treasure. So I'm happy she connected us.
Yeah, same for sure.
She's the cutest thing.
Tell us about yourself a little bit. Tell our listeners why they should love you.
Well, I don't know if they have to love me, but I can tell you what I do. I'm the author of 2 pop culture themed novels. The first one is called Dava Shastri's Last Day, and it was inspired by my career in entertainment journalism and my love of music. And my second novel is called Avdika and the Hollywood Wives, and it was inspired by a binge watch of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Wow. And I like to say that because people, you know, tend to think watching reality TV is a waste of time. I'm like, no, sometimes you can either get a book idea out of it. So yeah, that's what I
love that.
Since you just said, like, I mean, obviously you're a big pop culture person and you just said that you're a big music person. Hot off the presses, like, what are your hot takes like about this P. Diddy FBI search scandal situation happening?
I mean, I just saw before we logged on that, you know how there's that tracker of private planes that they call celebrities like Taylor Swift? I just saw, I don't know if it's real or not, but they saw that he flew out of like an airport in Van Nuys to some remote location. Like,
yeah. I just saw that too.
I just saw that.
You guys, I've been like off the internet for the last 4 hours. What has happened in the last 4 hours?
P. Diddy's homes have been raided by the FBI for like sex trafficking claims and stuff. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And he's missing. Like he like let his sons have been like handcuffed and detained and he's missing.
Oh my God, that is a scandal.
It truly is. Yeah. Kate Middleton is like, thank you so much.
So wait, so you're saying that you saw a plane tracker that said he left Van Nuys and he's MIA now?
He's in some place I've never even heard of before, like some remote place. I can't remember the name. That's right, literally before we logged on. So
what?
I guess
by the time this comes out, we'll know where he is, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yes. But I'm just, you know, I think as anybody, good, you know, a lot of chickens are finally coming home to roost. And this seems like it's been a long time coming. And, you know, if the FBI is after you, it's for good reason. You know, they don't do anything.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, do you think the FBI just like wanted to meet Diddy? Because like the FBI doesn't just like F around with raiding your home unless like they need to raid your home.
Exactly. So
like I've been listening to this murder podcast for the last, this is so annoying, by the way, I've been listening to a 28 part murder podcast. I'm on episode 21 and I find out today after investing 21 plus hours in this show, they don't even solve the crime. And I was just like, but so in the show, someone was talking about how the FBI comes to their home and like raids their home and takes their computers. And then one of the neighbors was like, you know, no one's ever come to my home and raided my home because I've never been accused of murdering someone. So
that's
it's sort
the
of just,
thing.
That's the thing. We always say that on the show. We're like, there's no smoke without fire. So P. Diddy, that sucks. Sorry, man. You're going
that's
down.
Like, so, okay. Also, Keerthana is also a big Housewives person. So Sloan has been a Housewives person our whole relationship. She's just on a little hiatus right now because she's been like mothering, she's been planning birthdays.
I've been
wearing,
in and out.
She's been wearing green in a green room. It's
every time. I'm always wearing green in here.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on the current status of Bravo.
Okay. I don't even know where to begin anyway. I just feel like Bravo is having a very interesting moment where you have lawsuits happening and a house that's coming out after Andy and cast shakeups. Like, as today, as we're recording this, Candace has departed Real Housewives of Potomac, which came as somewhat as a surprise. Oh, did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Breaking news.
I stopped watching Potomac like a season and a half in, and I've been like meaning to go back, and I just like haven't.
You know what's so funny about that? It used to be the best franchise, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a person who's always watching from the beginning. The funny thing about me is I started watching it, Real Housewives of Orange County, because I grew up in Orange County. And when I was living there, we were having a weird moment that suddenly we were on the map. Like, there was the OC, and then you had OC. And I'm like, and then I stopped watching for a while, and then it came back with a vengeance, and now I'm pretty up to date. But Potomac is one of those shows. It's a brilliant binge watch until the last two seasons, which took a nosedive. I've heard. Yeah. So you can, I would say, if you ever want to watch a really great Bravo series, and Potomac is it. Wasn't this season. It was terrible. There's a reason Candace is leaving. But in general, I don't know. I feel like I love Bravo. I love Real Housewives, but not everything is hitting anymore.
Are you a Vanderpumper?
I'm a Vanderpumper. I stopped watching it for the first half of the season because it just felt too toxic and weird to watch the dynamics of, right?
It's just like I'm like yelling at the screen. I'm like getting mad at everybody. It's crazy. Do you watch Summer House?
Yes.
Okay, that's good this season.
That is good this season. And that I have good. A comment about Summer House in relation to the movie we're going to discuss in a moment. Just rewind me.
Oh my God.
But anyway, yeah, I just feel like that I don't like feeling anxious when I watch reality TV or TV for that matter. And I lately like tuning into certain seasons like Beverly Hills with the whole Kyle situation and how she's not forthcoming, even though her whole thing is like open and honest. But when it comes to her personal life, she doesn't want to be
shuts down
or honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's tiresome. If you just sign up to be on reality TV, then you agree to show a part of your lives and you don't get to dictate how much of it or how little, especially when you're telling other housewives to open up about themselves. But when the spotlight is on you, you can't take it and you deflect. Mm-hmm. So I miss the older seasons where people were just actual genuine friends and the cameras are there to capture that dynamic. Not everybody trying to show their latest, you know, YouTube talk show or skincare line or three.
It's true. They're like not friends anymore. And it's very like telling when they're not friends. Are you watching Buying Beverly Hills at all?
So I watched the first season and then I didn't, you know what? I think the daughters of Kyle and Mauricio sound so much like Kyle that it kind of looks like.
If you close your eyes, it's Paris Hilton and Kyle having a conversation.
Yeah. And so I didn't feel the need to.
You don't need to watch it. But the crazy thing is that the cameras are filming as Real Housewives are filming. So Kyle is on this season and it's like we're getting more information from Kyle on this show than on her own show.
Yeah.
That is so weird to be on so many shows with your family.
Daughters. Like, there's a scene in Buying Beverly Hills where her daughters are crying because of how they hate to watch the show because they hate how mean everyone is to Kyle, and it makes them sad. It's like really crazy.
This is I can't watch the stuff because it was getting too toxic for me as well. Like, it used to be like fun escapism, like you said, like,
you know, like when Gia Giudice was crying in front of her entire family.
Okay, yeah. So that was a very toxic time in all of our lives when we were watching season 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Jersey, but it at least felt like lighter in some way.
Like family. It was like family.
It was La Familia. But like it's just like it makes me feel icky now.
It is, yeah. It is icky now. It's when they're not friends anymore. It's like over. It's like, we're not going to come back from this.
We're never going to get like another like Vicky on the floor in the kitchen, like finding out her mom has died. Like those like very real moments.
Yeah.
It's true.
They're too guarded.
Real Housewives of Miami, if you haven't seen it, that is a show that's the purest version of what Housewives used to be.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They don't give a shit what is happening. Like, they are like, air it, show it, film it. They don't give a shit. I love that.
And the most crucial thing about that cast is that they have fights, but they can move forward. They don't just stay in the same entrenched spot and just like have like silences and freeze each other out. They will yell at each other one day and be crying in each other's arms the next.
I love those
And that's
girls.
What you need.
Those are my shows, so. Those are my girls. I do love those girls the most.
I do too. They're the best. So what do you think? And this is my last Bravo question and we can get to the movie. But what do you think about like the new New York versus the old New York?
New York used to be my favorite franchise. That's the one I think I've seen the most of.
Me too.
But I'm not mad about the fact that they have found a whole new cast just to reflect the fact that we are, you know, everything, the city has changed. We as a people have changed. Society has changed. And I, as much as I enjoyed the most recent Ultimate Girls Trip when it was like Sonia, Luann, all of them, they're so cute and good together. Good. But I would like maybe bring like Sonia and Luann in a mix with the new cast with Jessel.
Oh wait, right?
they wouldn't stand a chance.
That's a good that's good casting of old and new mixed together. I like that idea
because I think they can bring a lot out of each other.
My favorite part of New York was, and I feel like this was the only franchise, was like, you would be on a vacation with the Roni women and they would wake up in full pajamas, hair a mess, no makeup, and they would just be spending the morning like that with like cameras rolling and not care at all. It just like reminded me of like being on vacation with like my aunts, and just like every other franchise, they're like glam first thing in the morning.
Imagine seeing Larsa first thing in the morning with no makeup.
She'll never do. They like never go. Their vacations are like an hour away from their homes. They never
literally.
Go, like,
they can't go anywhere because they need their glam squads with them, but they're all too cheap or broke to pay for the glam squads to come. I'm from Miami, so I really resonate with these women, and I know the hijinks that pretend rich Miami women will go to keep appearances. It's a beautiful thing to watch on reality TV. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the topic at hand?
Let's move on, because Kirthana, this is my first time ever seeing this movie.
Can you believe that?
And I am, but it was, it sat heavy. It's
I love it. I love this movie. It's like, I've seen this movie so many times. This movie was my personality for a long time. I will be honest with you, Zach did not like this movie.
But
it's good. We'll have a good conversation about it.
I've gone my whole life. I'm a Kate Winslet, like.
Oh, yeah.
I am obsessed with Kate Winslet. Like, everything she does, everything she says, writes, reads, everything. I have never seen this movie for, like, some weird reason. Like, I don't know why, but I was like scared to watch it. And I was right. Like, it scared me. This movie was really scary to me.
Did you rewatch it so that we could talk about it?
I did.
When's the last time you watched it?
I think we watched it maybe 2 to 3 years ago. I don't quite remember, but I know I watched it like within the past 4 or 5 years.
Okay. So like pretty recent.
It's so creative. Like, it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot mentally handle it again. I'm too sensitive.
What was it? Okay. Yeah.
I'm like too sensitive. Like, it was also, this movie is a Pisces. I'm a Pisces. It just was like too much Piscean energy.
Okay. I get that. Why did you choose this movie? Because we asked you, like, do you have a favorite movie you'd like to discuss? And this has been on my list for a while. And I was like, kind of scared to make Zach watch it, but you were a perfect excuse to watch it.
When I think about what I like in movies and what some of my favorite movies are, I really love dazzling and inventive storytelling. And I remember being blown away by this movie when it came out 20 years ago, which I didn't know until we started this conversation that this movie came out 20 years ago this month. Exactly.
That's so weird.
Which is so weird to think about.
That means we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yes, our timing was on point.
Somehow. No, I was saying, you guys, we have been trying to do this. I just found out, I was texting Jen today, and we have been trying to have this conversation since October of last year. And like, Zach and I have not been able to get it together, but the fact that we picked this movie and then did not know that it was the anniversary, like, truly, crazy. I guess, like, this movie says, like, everything kind of happens for a reason. Like,
it does. So,
so weird.
Let me give some little factoids about the film. So, one, I watched it on Peacock. I don't know where you guys watched it, but our listeners like to know where we're watching things. Also Sloan Peacock. Probably rented it.
I watched it on Peacock. What you told me to do, Zach. Zach's always like, Sloan, just say the name of the film or whatever into the remote. And I did it for the first time.
I'm so proud.
Thank you so much.
Was released March 19th, 2004. And the budget was $20 million.
Wow.
It grossed $73.3 million. So it got its money back.
Okay.
The director, and correct me if I'm pronouncing his last name wrong, is Michael Gondry. Does anyone know if that's correct?
Is it Michelle?
You're right. It is Michelle. I think he's French.
Yeah.
So that might be right.
Michelle Gondry.
So I didn't see anything that I recognized in his, like, in his work, but there are a million things that he's directed, plus a George Clooney Nespresso commercial, which I find to be top tier. The composer is John Bryan, who...
He's Bryan. Not French. He is American.
Jean Bryan, who did Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, I Heart Huckabees, The Breakup, Step Brothers, everything coded from that time of life.
Yeah. And if you're in LA, he does amazing shows all the time at the Largo. So if
why do you know that?
I love John Bryan. Love
same.
John Wait, are Bryan. You serious?
I'm dead serious.
Who is he?
Zach, his scores are iconic.
Can you give more? Like, why am I just hearing about this?
He's also worked with Elliot Smith and Fiona Apple as a music producer.
No, he's so good.
Yeah. He's really good.
Wow.
Zach, like, I'll send you a bunch of his songs and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, this is the kind of music I like.
You know I love a score.
No, his score. Punch Drunk Love is like one of my favorites of his, I think. Okay.
Okay. Jim Carrey was 42.
42?
42.
Okay.
Kate Winslet was 29.
Wow.
Elijah Wood was 23. Okay. Mark Ruffalo was 37.
Whoa. We're 37. I don't know how old you are, but it's always very shocking when people are our age. Scares me.
I'm close to Jim Carrey's age for what it's worth.
You don't have to divulge, but Zach and I are always like, when someone's our exact numerical age, we're like, wait, that's what we look like. It freaks us out.
But I feel like he looked young in this.
He did look young in this.
I did too.
Yeah.
Like younger than 37. Anyway, all right. Jane Addams was 39, who I always forget that I love until I lay eyes on her again.
Love her.
I love her.
She's so good.
David Cross was 40 and Kirsten Dunst was 22.
She was a baby.
Baby.
That's little a little baby. Baby. Oh my
she is
God.
So talented. Like every time she's like she in really a movie is. And we find out that she's like 18, I'm like, are you kidding me?
She's so good. I love her so much. Okay.
Are you?
This movie was so well cast. Just going through the names in this movie. What a great cast, right?
Amazing. I feel like it doesn't get its comeuppance for its cast.
That's when I was like trying to sell this to Zach. I was like, I'm like, Zach, listen to this cast. Like the cast is stacked. And then when I watched it, I was like, oh, Zach is not going to like this. Like if you didn't watch this as a teen or like in your 20s, I don't know if it would like resonate.
Catch our guest up here. I have a little bit of an issue with like chaos and like things that are like jumpy or like not linear. And this movie was literally like the opposite of those things. So like when we're doing like Batman movies and like the Gotham villains are like jumping out of corners with like neon faces, like that freaks me out. So like this was really coded. This was, and we joke about a lot about like Manic Pixie Dream Girls, like in the, in those early aughts of the 2000s where a movie had to have a Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super important.
And this one has two, I think. So yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I
totally you're right. See.
Wow. Yeah. It does have two Manic Pixie Dream Girls.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I didn't even realize that until right now. Were you ever a Manic Pixie Dream Girl in your youth?
I don't think I knew how to be. I can't be that, like, just, it feels like very studiously quirky.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, trying very hard to, like, nothing says quirky and Manic Pixie Dream Girl more than dyeing your hair to reflect, like, your mood, I guess, or the change of the season. So, but yeah, I can't say I was. How about you? Were you ever one?
Oh. Oh. I was cringing so hard when I was watching this, just thinking about all of the hair colors I've lived through. I was like, oh my God. I was trying so hard to be anybody but myself. So like I haven't dyed my hair in I don't even know how many, probably 20 years, because I went through.
Do you have any grays? Why is your hair so beautiful?
No, I have a lot of grays, but thank you. But I'm embracing my grays. I can't wait to have like a full head of gray hair.
I love it.
I don't think I'd ever dye my hair. I'm not like I'm not against it. I went through too many Manic Pixie Dream Girl colors. Like, I don't even know if I had rainbow. When the movie Whip It came out and Drew Barrymore had that rainbow hair, you guys, I spent all of my money, like all of my savings, to go to the salon to get my hair dyed like that. Like, how embarrassing is that? It was like the most expensive thing I've ever bought was that hair.
And can somebody just like, can someone give me the plot of the movie? Or give our listeners.
Sure. So this movie is about a couple named Joel and Clementine. When we meet them, Joel and Clementine have just split. And to deal with the breakup, Clementine has her memories erased by this very strange procedure, which we basically call like electing to have selective brain damage, where they actually go in and take out your memories of the other person so you don't have to feel the grief of that heartbreak anymore. So when Clementine does this, and she's played by Kate Winslet, Joel, in retaliation, and this is, of course, played by Jim Carrey, he goes through the same procedure. And so we watch him actually go through the procedure in real time, living through his memories of Clementine and the relationship as they are erased. And as he's having this procedure done, he realizes, oh, I don't want to lose Clementine or my memories. And so we're just watching them try to evade detection inside his brain while this procedure is happening. So it's very much a movie about relationships and memories and how our ideas of other people can be very subjective depending based on how we want to see them versus how we actually see them.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
That was a really nice, I mean,
that made me want to see it again.
No, that was like a really nice way of explaining it. I have you ever thought to yourself, like, I wish I could just forget this person? I mean, I have.
I think we all have at some point, because it's just too much to take sometimes. Or I feel like I'd be more productive if I could just literally take it out of my brain and put it to the side. And
it truly is about the productivity. It's like, okay, I have other things to do than to cry on the shower floor right now. Like, can I please just like go do something else?
Oh, I love that feeling. I haven't had that feeling in so long.
I know what you mean.
I've been married for so many years that I haven't really had the chance to like have my heart broken, and I like love it. I like love that. Just you can't eat, you can't sleep, walking doesn't feel good, laying down, you're just like going crazy. Like, I haven't had that. It's the most alive feeling. Like, you're so alive. Yeah, the heartbreak
takes over your whole body.
It does. Like, I this movie made me like I wanted to have my heart broken after watching this.
I like love Kate Winslet. Like, for me, listening to Kate Winslet's voice and the way that she pretends to cry, or when she was talking about that doll and how she was telling the doll it had to be pretty
No, don't make me cry again.
Oh, that part. I mean, like, and I'm telling you, it was really difficult for me to like get, if I allowed myself to get into this movie, which if I had watched this when I was 20 years old, it would have been like my whole personality. So I'm glad that I didn't, because it just wouldn't have been good. Like, but I could see these little bits where if I had allowed myself to really be immersed, I just would have been like lying on my couch eating Reese's peanut butter like hearts all day. Yeah.
I told you to immerse yourself. I said, let this film wash over you.
Good. It just wouldn't have been.
I understand. Good. I understand. You had to separate yourself from it.
But hearing her say certain things like really pulled me in.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Love her.
What do you think about Jim Carrey in like serious mode? He doesn't do it often, but when he does it, I think he's really effective.
He's so effective. I think that that's the thing too, is like so many of these comedians are afraid to be themselves and like be that serious, heart-wrenching character. So when they do, I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't be seeing that. It's like when you see a teacher at the grocery store, it's like, I shouldn't be seeing this.
It's like so much more vulnerable. Like when Robin Williams does like a serious role, and it's just like, it's so much more effective in my mind.
It is.
I'm just like, it breaks. It's so much more heartbreaking to watch Jim Carrey be sad. It's like when a grandparent
yells at you.
Yeah. I've never had that happen.
Do you know what I mean? It's like when a grandparent like has to like put down their, like put their foot down, and it's like, whoa, you're not supposed, this is like way too heartbreaking.
Kind of breaks your brain a little bit when
it like puts it like kind of flips a little. One time I left my backpack in my living room on the floor, and my grandmother tripped on the backpack and like caught herself on the wall, so like she didn't fall, but she got like, she must have been so scared that she would fall and break a hip that she like turned to me and was like so mad at me for doing that.
Oh my god,
I'll never forget it.
Is she still alive?
No, she died at the ripe young age of 96.
Oh, did she trip over a book bag?
Yeah.
Okay. Rest in peace.
Yep.
Rest in pieces.
Sorry, Kirthana. If we have like dark, sometimes our humor gets a little.
Yeah. We're real twisted up. We're like a couple of jokers right out of Gotham.
We're just a couple of shock jocks.
Something is very broken inside our brains.
I really want to know your Summer House Eternal Sunshine like mashup though.
Oh, I think it's just because, so right before I watched this movie again, I had watched the most recent episode of Summer House. And so if you watch the show at all, you know the main drama on that show right now is Carl and Lindsay. And I just kept seeing Carl and Lindsay in this dynamic between Joel and Clementine, because like both of Joel and Carl are like nice guys. And I think they kind of, that's their identity, is being nice guys. And so they're very introverted, and they like being around very extroverted women to make them feel like alive and make them feel like even tethered to the world, because they wouldn't act out by their own. They need someone to encourage them. But then at the same time, they kind of blame them for being like manic pixie dream girls in a way. Even though that's what they like about them, they also like kind of have this like, I don't know, this like disdain for them at the same time too. And I really saw that play out when Joel and Clementine, both of their brains have been erased, but they still feel this pull towards each other. And I'm like, oh, this is very Carl and Lindsay coded to me. Maybe because I just saw them.
And Lindsay, I'm sorry, Sloan. I know you're
I love listening to it.
The Carl and Lindsay of everything is like so wild. I mean, to have heard that engagement was broken up and all of us to hate Carl for like 6 months, and then to watch these episodes are just like crazy. It's just crazy to see like why he was so quiet for so long.
Wow, you guys are making me want to watch Summer House.
It's honestly
watch something. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's just like Summer House is about people our age, and they're Sloan, you just like made a thumbs up, and the thumbs up came up.
Yeah.
Summer House is about people our age who like work in the city, and they party at a shared summer house on the weekend, and they're all friends, so it's like normal, and they're all like still friends. They just introduce like a couple of people every now and then, who are friends with, like, they're supposed to be friends with someone prior, but it's just very real. It's very relatable. And like, now that they're getting older, they kind of like are home by like midnight, but it's just, it's really good.
I'm very interested in, everybody's been telling me to watch it and that I'd like it. So
you would. It's really low stakes. It's easy to watch. Even like the dark stuff is still like not, it's not as, it's not like Vanderpump dark.
Okay. That's then, I haven't done any Vanderpump this season because I'm just like, it's, the darkness is too overwhelming for me.
And you're not missing anything, I don't think. It feels very toxic. And I feel like Summer House has had its bad seasons and its dark seasons, but there's a lot of friendship. I mean, even the Carl and Lizzie of it all, because they're on their way to a breakup this season. You can see it happening in real time. And there's been some dark undertones to that relationship. But their friendships have been around for so long. There's also a lot of lightness and fun. And so it just feels just like we're hanging goosebumps. Out with... Oh.
Okay. No, because you're right. It's like the, because when they get mad at each other and they fight, like they separate into these groups of friends and they just like lift each other up, or like they don't like do it out of like just to gas each other up. They're like, they'll tell them like hard stuff and it's very cute. The new guys are like very supportive of Carl. It's very sweet.
Hey guys, I'm gonna watch.
It's very sweet. It's not like Katie Maloney and like Ariana like rolling their eyes every 5 minutes at everybody and like.
I'm not interested. I've lived through so many years of Katie Maloney being on my TV screen. Like, it's been enough. She's had enough time.
She honestly, I just feel bad for her. I feel like she needs to. I think she needs to move on. Like, I think that she's too mentally stable for this. And it's starting.
And she's literally fallen on her head. And like,
oh my God, someone just reminded me of that. Did you see that on Twitter that someone reminded me of that? No. It was like, I forgot about that story where she fell through that window.
She fell through like a 40 foot skylight.
And like onto a staircase and like fell down the stairs.
That is crazy. Okay.
No, she just is like, I think she's grown up. She's just grown too much to be on this show.
Yeah. But she needs that paycheck.
And they resent her for it, I think. Yeah. But that's the thing. By the way, really quickly, one of the funny things about Scandal is how many people have launched podcasts in the wake of it? Like, how many cast members from VPR have podcasts now? I think almost all of them.
All of them.
All of them. And it's like, Ariana has become like a multi-millionaireess from it, but I'm afraid for her because she will not hang out with anybody on the show because the problem is that the cast knows that they have to hang out with Tom for the show to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana refuses to hang out with them because they're hanging out with Tom, which means Ariana will not have anyone to film with and she won't be able to be on the show any longer. And listen, like, I'm sure she has like many talents. I just don't know if like they're going to keep being thrown at her if she's not on Vanderpump Rules.
She needs another scandal. Like a
$2 million home.
I think it was 1.3.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know, I mean, that's still a really nice home.
No, it's really nice.
It makes me nervous when they buy these like expensive homes and then like can't afford them.
I mean, Sheena just said in one of the episodes that she was down to her last $1,000 and like Tom had to Venmo her a bunch of money.
No, she didn't. You're kidding me.
No,
they
keep talking about how like they really don't. Here's the thing. They get paid per episode. They have brand deals for like social media, but then like that money is being spent. It's like, they're not like investing.
They spend money like I would spend money if I didn't have a husband stopping me from spending my own money into just absolute financial ruin.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway,
my last thing about Vanderpump, I think the only way to save this show is just get rid of all the guys except for maybe James Kennedy and just have it be about the women, because I can't watch it anymore with Sandoval ish voids. It's icky. So
Sandoval is like,
the men are the worst.
Sandoval is like the most cringe. It's like he is so embarrassing and frustrating and disgusting. It's so hard to watch.
If any Bravo execs are listening, the all girl Vanderpump reboot is actually like genius.
Or like get us a Summer House Malibu.
Put
two of the Vanderpump girls in there or something. Like, let's like that can be how it spins off, but like give us, well, did you watch The Valley?
Unfortunately.
that was tough, right? I mean, that was,
yeah, it was tough.
Did you also though get like a weird like excitement that like did it almost, was it disgusting but also felt nostalgic to you?
A little bit. I just understand why this show was happening when they made such a big deal about firing Jax and Brittany and Kristen for the racist comments that they made. And then kind of swept it all under the rug and been like, okay, a few years have happened.
They asked Stassi to be on it.
They did?
And she declined, yeah.
Very smartly said no. She had
She was like, this is not me. Like, I can't do that. Like, they're very embarrassing to watch too, like on the show.
Yeah.
That was probably the hardest thing Stassi's ever done in her life.
Canceled. No, she said it took 1 second. She was like, I'm never going back to that again. Like, that was crazy.
I'm really proud of her for saying that. I guess she's maybe grown in one way. That's like, crazy. Like, they can't give you overgrown shows.
It's just like a bunch of overgrown children having children. That's The Valley, like in a nutshell. And
Kristen somehow seems like the most mature. Like, I don't know how that happened, but like.
Wow, yeah. That's really bad.
That guy, Jason, like it's the husband of that. Is it the one? Do they have kids? There's like that guy, Jason, who's like really just like normal.
Yeah, I can't just tell them apart, but I think I know who you're talking about.
I know. I don't think they have kids yet. The one that I'm talking about, maybe I don't think they have kids.
Okay, maybe they're expecting and that's why. Okay, but yeah.
Oh, they are expecting. We'll see. Yeah, it's the one. Yeah, his wife is super pregnant. And I think that somebody said that they created this show to be able to like retire certain Vanderpumpers onto this show and get rid of the original Vanderpump rules.
Oh, that's so sad. They're being put out to pasture.
Well, so because Sheena and Brock, they're saying that like Sheena and Brock and Lala will move to The Valley and then they'll like kind of get rid of the rest of them.
Wow.
Wow. That makes sense, though. It's like a kind of retirement community for.
Where's Peter going to go? Where is he going to live?
Peter's not even on it anymore. He's not on the season. They were like, we can't. The thing is that they can't pretend to be at Sir anymore. Their last link to it was Raquel or Rachel. And that was like a stretch that she was working at Sir in that last season.
God, I'm sad I'll never see another Sir t-shirt dress again. It's hard to imagine.
Remember those like silky ones that were like literally just a scarf?
It was a scarf with like double-sided boob tape on it.
Yeah.
And like held on with a prayer.
And watching them like fish it out of a suitcase at 4 p.m. and like throw it on and go to work was just
stinks of it, like stinks like cigs and like pink sugar perfume, just like so disgusting. Oh, God. That was like this. Oh man, I miss the smell of pink sugar. Okay,
that was just a classic. Anyway, sorry.
It's such a classic. I could talk about the smells of the 2000s for another hour. I'm interested. I want to go back to Eternal Sunshine just because there's like so much to talk about.
The album, the Ariana Grande album.
Yeah, exactly. I cannot believe she has the audacity.
She's obsessed with Jim Carrey.
That's so weird.
She's like obsessed with him.
She really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. Why don't I know any of this? You guys are way more pop culture than I could ever like even hope to be.
I don't know why I know that about Ariana. I guess I just saw an interview with her on TikTok and she was just saying that she's always been like really, I think that they're like friends.
Friends?
Yeah, like I think that they've like hung out before.
She just like hangs out with Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I guess.
You know that girl on TikTok that looks like Jim Carrey?
No.
You haven't seen her? Oh my God. No. I'm going to send it to you guys. There's this girl on TikTok that looks exactly like Jim Carrey. That's the whole shtick. But like, she really looks like Jim Carrey.
All right. I'm sorry I interrupted you. What did you want to say about the movie? I'm sorry.
Me?
Yeah. You said I want to say something about.
I want to know, do you guys think that they made a good couple?
So my idea when I was rewatching this movie, I was like, I don't really see a lot of romantic chemistry between them, but I do feel like I got couple chemistry between them. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
I don't see the two of them, like, you know, you watch a romantic movie and you get the instant sparks and heat off two people, and that's not really them. But like when they're like private moments and like they're doing weird things to each other, like she's trying to suffocate him with a pillow.
I love that scene.
I get why they had chemistry and worked as a couple, because they kind of had that weird screwball oddness to them. But I don't know if I necessarily see them as like romantic. I don't know. What do you guys
think? I agree. I think that they learn. I think that that's a relationship where you learn a lot from each other. Like you,
that's
learn,
such a diplomatic answer.
Well, no, but even like in a good way, like you just learn how to have more fun, or you might learn. You just like learn, like you kind of like find a different part of your personality that you didn't know was there, and you take it with you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Do you think that Clementine should have ended up with Elijah Wood's creepy character?
Oh, no, like as so I was creepy. Before I knew what was going on, like which was a long time. I was like, this couldn't be real, because the amount of abuse that would take place by the people doing it would be like unheard of.
The legality of this is,
and then it happened in the movie, and I was like, okay, I was right.
Makes a lot of sense. I feel
he was such a.
No, sorry. Go.
Okay, I was gonna say he was so early 2000s for me, between the facial hair, and the casual use of the F word. You know, just like that.
I have that written down.
And Elijah Wood as in this in a movie, like, right? Like, I don't think he's in a lot of movies besides Lord of the Rings. So just seeing Elijah Wood in a movie, I'm like, oh, this is so early 2000s. Everything about him.
It was crazy.
And his behavior also, too, which is played out for laughs.
It was so... Kate Winslet's performance acting against him was, like, they made such good scene partners, because as she's, like... her memory has obviously like been erased, but she's sort of like she knows her heart is like feeling some way about the words he's saying, but it's not connecting and landing. And it's
there was a moment.
Out.
There was a moment where you said, where you're talking about, where he's acting like they're in a relationship and he's being normal and she's driving and she goes, what?
Yeah, she's like so mad.
I was like, that's so funny. She's like, what are you talking about?
She's getting so mad. That was very you, Zach.
Oh, that was like really, yeah, I felt that got me back into. There were times with Kate where I was like, okay, I'm back.
I'm locked in.
Yeah.
There's something about, first of all, I like forget that she is not American when I watch her in this, because she's so convincingly American somehow.
I love her American accent. Is so good. When she does American, it's so good.
When she does Mayor of Easttown.
Well, like Revolutionary Road, like, I mean.
She's so good. She's so good. Okay, this is just, honestly, it's just like a gushing over Kate Winslet podcast at the end of the day.
I try every episode, I try to talk so much about her that someday she'll notice.
Honestly. Oh,
go ahead, sorry.
No, you
go. I was just
going
to say, because Kate, you know, for the most part, plays roles where she's like in period pieces, or she's, you know, she's British, or it's so nice to see her playing an ordinary person, and of course, in extraordinary circumstances. And that's one of the best things I think about this movie, is that she brings her amazing acting abilities to embody this role that is actually really complicated, right? Because she's not only playing herself, she's playing herself without memories, and then she's playing herself as Joel thinks of her in his memories. Yeah. And they kind of each feel like distinct people within that. So.
I love it. I mean, this film is really, it's really well done, and it's such an interesting concept. And I love the idea of like even with Kirsten Dunst's character, where she has erased the doctor, her love interest, and then she like falls in love with him again. Cause it's kind of just saying like, if you are meant to be with someone, or if you are going to be in someone's orbit, like you're going to be in their orbit and it's going to happen. No, like you can erase them. You can try to move on, but like, gonna end up back together. Like if you have a magnetic pull with a person, like it's either there or it's not. And
do
I
you
love
believe in
that
soulmates, Kirthana?
Gosh, that's such a question. I feel like it's possible, but I feel like it's also gonna be reductive as only one person out there for you, because what are the odds, right? But
no, I believe that there's like groups of soulmates, of like we all have groups of soulmates.
Yeah, I think that sounds like right. Honest. There are a lot of people out there. You have potential to really like to connect with on such a deep level that even if your memories are erased, you can still feel that, yeah. as you said, magnetic pull. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's either there or it's not. Like, I'm very much a person who I either like jive with you right away or I'm just like, yeah. you know, have a great life. Like, hope everything goes well for you. But like, if I am like in your orbit and I like you, you are like net. Like Zach has tried to get rid of me, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
It's impossible.
It's really hard to shake me.
Although
off.
Sometimes you do go away for a long time, and then I am nervous. Then I'm just nervous
because I you think I've left you in the dust, or that I've just actually
or something.
Died.
I don't know.
Something
what's
bad
happened.
Has happened yeah. to me. Yeah, but it's just like, I just love that. I love that thread through this film of just like, you're gonna be if it's meant to be. You're gonna find a way to be together in this life, in a different life. Erase your memories, don't erase them. Like, it's gonna happen. But like, I am very interested in, this is a time period where age differences, I guess, weren't as alarming, because the age difference between Kirsten Dunst and Tom Wilkinson, right? That's how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
Was a solid 40 years. Like, what was that?
Even Kate Winslet, I mean, I know that it's not like that crazy, but like Kate Winslet's 29 and he's 42. So I mean, like, that's not like wild, but it's like to cast that nowadays, I don't think would, I don't know. Am I wrong? Does that not happen nowadays?
I think it does happen.
I think you're spot on. I think it flew under the radar at the time because it's so common, but now I think people would side-eye that a little bit, especially because yeah, like it's the main relationship in the movie. So
yeah, I think that like studios would just be nervous to do it because they would be like, we're going to get.
What is that, a 13-year age difference? I like can't do math.
It's not even, yeah, like it's not even that crazy. It's just like.
Yeah, 13 years. Yeah.
It doesn't, they seemed like. They seemed like peers. It didn't seem yeah. off. It didn't yeah. look off. Like Kirsten no. Dunst and that old doctor, that looked off.
But like Kirsten Dunst and Mark Ruffalo, she was 22 and he was 37.
Yeah, that's even worse.
That's yeah. yeah. So like that's crazy to me because they seemed, while we're watching it, it's like they did yeah. seem, they could have both been like 25 and I wouldn't have questioned it.
Yeah, Mark looked I young. Thought-
He looks really young. I thought he was in his late 20s or early 30s. I had no idea he's already.
I felt so old watching him in this movie because I just watched Poor Things like a couple weekends ago. And obviously he's older now. This movie was 20 years ago. And I just like Mark Ruffalo in my head is like 13 going on 30 Mark Ruffalo. Like that's Mark Ruffalo to me. And so to see him like looking older threw me through a loop. So then to see him looking this young, I was like, oh my God, it felt so crazy.
Yeah, he's 56.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Yeah, that's.
I mean, he still looks great. He's a very handsome man.
But... He has a young face. Even though he looks aged, he has a young face.
His body was banging in Eternal Sunshine. That yeah, was a really banging was. Body. Yes. I mean, Kirsten's always banging. God, by the way, I remember watching this and people were still having the conversation around like Kate Winslet's body being like too big. And I was like watching this movie thinking like we were so mentally ill, like sick in the head. She's so stunningly beautiful.
There were ad nauseum articles about her being fat in Titanic.
It's crazy.
Insane.
It's so crazy.
She has the most beautiful, like, little cherub face.
She's like, she's taken that and made it like a huge platform. Like, she like fights against that so fervently. And like with her daughters, she's like really nuts about it. I mean, I shouldn't say nuts about it, but she's like very serious about it. And it's,
I love that.
I know. I love it.
We need someone to be against Ozempic.
That's what I'm saying. We just need someone like asked her if she would ever do Ozempic and she didn't know what it was. And so they had to describe it. And she was like, that sounds horrible. We should eat more.
Truly. That is so crazy. Like, I really like couldn't believe looking at her in this film. I was like, we were so demented.
But like, I want everyone to see that like she is such a successful, well-paid like actor, and like So like we can have more of though. It's like you guys don't have to just be like Ozempic
bobbleheads.
Like we can live life.
It's true. It really is true. That reminds me.
Sorry
to tell,
that I just went into that rant.
No, but I just want to tell everybody.
Oh, it's good.
I want to tell everybody on this podcast that Zach didn't care, which was like really hurtful. But I physically in the flesh saw Anne Hathaway in person this week.
Sloan, you caught me at like a dark time. I forget what it was.
Zach,
happening.
I literally was like, I saw Don Cheadle, Ewan McGregor, and Anne Hathaway in one night, and Zach didn't care.
I don't know why. I just saw
Anne Hathaway. She was like 3 feet in front of me, and you're like not giving me anything.
We've interviewed a writer from the Gilded Age. Like, how am I ever going to be starstruck again?
That is true. That is very true.
We listen for our last like 6 minutes. Can we talk about the Gilded Age?
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
What is, I mean, like, I just want to know, like, what your take on the Gilded Age, like, when you started watching it, have you listened to our Gilded Age recaps? I would never be offended. I just want to know, like, if you know how crazy we are about
it. We're nuts.
Well, I was excited to see, I only listened to the episode where you interviewed the writer, but I was so jazzed to see that you interviewed Mrs. Fish also, because she's the best on that show.
Getting started.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when season 3 comes along, you don't even know.
We are like little creepy parasites on that cast.
You guys have to go find a way to be on the show next season, like cameo in the background of like one of Mrs. Fish's parties. Oh, great.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna do our best.
I live close to where they film. It's happening this summer. They're starting to film. We just got insider information. We're ready. We're ready to really sell our souls here.
Well, we're going to try our best. But you love the show? You're obsessed. You're like one of us.
I love the show. Definitely one of you. For Christmas, actually, just because I hadn't had a chance to watch it earlier, spent Christmas Day with my husband. Like, we just watched the entire season, second season of the show, which is a great way, by the way, to spend Christmas with
That's an excellent way. That is such a beautiful Christmas. Where are you from, by the way? Like, what city are you in right now?
Well, I'm in New York City.
Lucky.
That's fun. He's like, not really.
it's New York. It's great. But I'll say,
were you born in the OC?
So I was born in New Jersey, but I grew up in Southern California. And so I lived in the OC during the time when the OC first started being a thing, which was bizarre because anyway, to go back to the
Gilded Age. And then a couple years later, it was all about Jersey.
Yeah.
It was like we had like Jersey Shore, Jersey Housewives,
right.
We had the Mob Wives. We had like,
you had
every,
it all,
like,
baby. You got it all.
But I have to say, I've never watched Jersey Shore or Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh my God.
Both
of those shows.
You're the third person from Jersey who has told me that they will not watch the Jersey Housewives because it's like too triggering. It's like too close to home.
Just watch the first season. That's honestly all you need. Like,
okay, I might need
That's it. When I first had my child and I had like, I would say a step below postpartum psychosis, the only thing that made me feel better was I would just watch Real Housewives of New Jersey, like the first season on repeat. Like I'd finish the season and start it over. It was crazy, but it was just, it soothed something in my brain watching these women scream.
I will tell you, like, if you've never seen it and you are like kind of craving that originality of Bravo Friendship and Housewives, it's three family members and then two friends. Three family members, one friend, and one like planted enemy.
they like genuinely love and like ride for each other.
Yeah.
But like, it's so good. You would love it. You really would.
All right. Maybe I'll check it out and report back. I feel like I've seen one episode. I saw one episode where someone's got their hair pulled in a shopping store.
That's season two.
If you know what I'm talking about.
That's season two, and it's in a country club. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was after the Porsche fashion show.
The posh fashion show Yeah.
There's, you got to get your eyes on it. I'm telling you, you would really like it.
All right. I know the new season's coming up and we're about to have a housewives drought. So I'll
we think are about maybe. We're going to be in a little drought, even though we still have, I mean, Vanderpump Reunion's going to be like four episodes probably.
I also really think you should check out Jersey Shore. It's such an iconic piece of pop culture. And again, like if you watch one season, you'll get it. You don't need to watch. Yeah. Just watch the first season.
Do you watch the Martha's Vineyard Summer House? Because that just started again.
Yeah, I do watch that. Yeah.
How many summer houses are there?
Two. This is the second season of like the spinoff like franchise. Okay. And it takes place on Martha's Vineyard with an all black cast. And like I learned so much about Martha's Vineyard being like a mecca of black excellence.
Love that.
Yeah, so I didn't know that.
Atomic vibes.
Yeah, and real friendships also too, which is
all
great,
real friendships. Yeah. I love it. That. Although I last season, that guy was like so toxic. The husband.
Do you mean the one who came in? Oh, the husband. He's not here this season. He's deployed. God. So he's not.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. Well, I don't mean thank God he got deployed. But I'm really glad. He was bringing the house down. He was a little toxic.
But to go really quickly back to the Gilded Age, I love Carrie Coon so much. And I'm just so happy that, like, after The Leftovers, I don't know if you ever saw her on that show, but.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been so gratifying to see her get the recognition she deserves. I loved her on Watch What Happens Live a few weeks ago, where she gave her Real Housewives tagline.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it. She's getting all her flowers, which she deserves.
She's incredible. And I can't wait to see her in the White Lotus. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Everybody's been saying the new Ghostbusters is really good too, which like I'm not.
Go see it with Rex and report back.
I don't know if I should take. Is that too scary to take a 7-year-old?
No, it's four kids. I thought.
I don't know. I mean, he's seen Titanic, so like I'm sure he'll be.
Yeah, he watches. World
I'm
War
not a
II
good. I'm not a good mom. I am really not a good. Not a good parent.
No, Sloan is an excellent parent. She's just really bad at figuring out what like age group.
Viewing
things should be like
it's I need a little bit more help, so that's why I'm like, should I take him to Ghostbusters 2 or not? I'll ask.
It's funny because you'll like you do show him like other things without question, but then when a kid's movie comes out, you're like, do you think Ghostbusters is too scary?
No, I'm literally like, we're gonna go see Saw 10. But Ghostbusters 2 might be a little... Wait, okay, I'm sorry. I know we all have to go, but have you all seen the Beetlejuice trailer?
I didn't watch the trailer yet.
It looks good. I'm going to go see it, you guys. Yeah. I'm going to watch it.
When does it come out? I hope it's like a Halloween kind of
release. Soon. It's like August.
Okay.
I think it's August of this year, unless it's 2025, because I have no idea what year we're in.
No, they'll probably release it in like August and then it'll be streaming by Halloween.
Oh, that sounds so good. I want it to be Halloween again.
All right, give me some time.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to... We jumped around so much because to have to talk about Eternal Sunshine. But we have to talk Bravo with you. But we also wanted to talk Housewives. So it was a mishmash.
That was an easy convo.
It was. But is there anything that we didn't cover that you like wanted to talk about or get in?
I think the only two things were, one, I feel like this movie is such a time capsule of its era. Like, it wouldn't exist in the social media era. Memories... will never go away. Like we always, there's a record right, of everything we do. This is so wouldn't true. Happen. Yeah,
that's so true.
That's like so wild. I just thought that was interesting. You could never erase anybody ever again.
Mm-mm. Oh my god,
for good or for ill, it's not possible.
When I get like I finally deleted my Facebook app, but I don't know why I called it Facebook app. I deleted Facebook. When I would get like a memory from like 2006, I would be like,
"No, it's dark.
Who is this? Who is this girl? Who is that person?
Yeah,
who's that person talking in third person? Like, it's so horrible.
It's
but
really
you're right.
weird.
That was this movie is such a perfect time capsule. The clothing, the music, the look, all of it, just so perfect. And then, sorry, what's your other note?
I just think the other thing for me personally watching this movie, because it was exactly 20 years ago. And for me, when I first saw this movie when it came out, I was in my 20s and I was like single, just about to move to New York soon, waiting for my life to begin. And we, and then a few months after the movie came out, I met my husband. And now, so watching it now in my 40s, and I think what struck me the most about this movie that made it my favorite when it first came out was, again, that dazzling storytelling, how inventive it is. And in fact, it's very low. It's not very like a lot of CGI at all. It's all technology done just by with camera tricks and whatnot, which was so cool. But what resonated for me now was the idea of memories being disappearing and the poignancy of them watching themselves know that we're about to, like, you know, lose memories of each other and not be able to find each other. I'm just like, oh, this movie just struck me in a whole other way.
See, no, you're right. Like, that's why I kind of had to, like, remain on the surface of it. Because I was like, if I dive into this, I'm going to be so sad.
Oh, I was at the end, when this movie ended, I'm like getting teared up thinking about the experience of watching it. Were you crying when you watched it? Because I was blubbering.
Yeah, I was crying by the end of it.
Blubbering. I was just like, this is just, it hits so different as you get older and your own memories become sort of fuzzy and vague. And it's like, I thought it was such a beautiful movie. Like, I know why Zach thought it, like, didn't like the zonky zaniness, but then if you go deeper, it's such a beautiful story and it's so inventive. I mean, like, you said dazzling, like, it really is like a dazzling movie. You're just
When you said that, I was like, no, that's it's so inventive. I mean, like, I even think now it would be really difficult for someone to get this movie made.
It would have to be A24 and, like, everybody would be, like, nude or something.
Well, that's what, like, Garden State, this movie, mm-hmm. like, all those, like, movies like this were the A24 of their time.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. That's such 100%. A good analogy. You said A24, I'm like, I can see this movie with Zendaya and Tom Holland somehow as the two leads. Right.
Austin Butler.
We need to, like, get that remade because, like, yes.
Because, like, that's, like, do you watch Euphoria?
I watched the first season and then it was
out. I don't even care about the show anymore, but it's like, they just announced, like, it's like delayed again because the cast is so in such high demand that they can't figure out, but it's like, just cancel the show.
We don't want seriously. It at this point.
It's done. They're going to be 40 by the time they're graduating high school.
Sydney Sweeney's boobs are going to be on the ground by the time we got the season filmed. Like, it's
Jacob
enough.
Bellordi has been through, like, so much since he's been in that show. He's probably like, I don't even know how to be that character anymore.
I didn't realize that he was British.
He's Australian.
Oh.
I didn't realize he was Australian. I thought he was, like, a really mean American boy.
No, he's like a baby girl.
He's adorable. Every interview I see with him, I'm like, you're so cute.
Yeah, he wears, like, nail polish and, like, cashmere cardigans. He's, like, baby girl coated.
He's, like, not my type. Oh. I like more of, like, a man, but he's, like, so cute.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a super crush? Like, I have, like, my super crushes. Do you have, like, a super crush boy or girl?
Mm-hmm.
Or they?
You know what? The first weird one, like, my high school crush, and it's so weird.
I want to know.
It's high school. But see, it's going to sound weird, but I really thought I really liked Alan Rickman.
No, that's literally not. That is not so Sloan-coded. You have no idea how, like, the other day I was watching like a little YouTube video, and this woman was talking about how Alan Rickman gave her the best advice of her entire life. She was like an extra in one of his films. And I guess they, like, promoted her to have, like, a little speaking role or something. And so she was at the table read. And she was, like, super duper nervous. And she said she looked really nervous. And Alan Rickman walked up to her before they started. And he put his finger on the script on the table read and looked at her. And he said, have fun. And just walked away. And she was like, I don't know if that meant, like, at the table read or in life. But I've never forgotten that advice. Just have fun. Isn't that beautiful? So
you
get
a really good crush.
I get Alan Rickman. He's beautiful man.
That's really Sloan.
Who else? Yeah, like, who? Let's go. Who else you got for me?
I think of it. I mean, I honestly, and I'm drawing this whole blank. Are you guys, because about the Gilded Age, Mr. Carrie Coon on the show, of course, is a very attractive individual.
Okay, Morgan Spector. So I have a recent beef with him for multiple reasons, but I don't like men that use too much social media. And I don't know if you do follow him on Instagram. Don't follow him on Instagram. Don't do it because it's just too many thirst traps. I love him. He's a hot man. I don't think you should give a man over 40 like hot daddy status because it's going to go to his head and he's going
to his head.
You know what I mean? Like he's just doing too much. It's like he takes like little pictures of his like outfits. Like it's too much. No.
That's
let the mystery live.
Exactly.
Kirithana, thank you so, so much for coming. This was such an easy chat.
Thank you for having me. This was a blast. Can we just do this every week and talk pop culture just for fun?
I'm going to need to talk Bravo like at some point in every season of the show. So we will let you know for sure. And where can people find you and stuff?
So my website is my name, KirithanaRamaseti.com, same as my Instagram. And if you are Substack inclined, although I know we all subscribe to too many newsletters, I have a Substack called Free Happiness, which I just every week share something that I think of as a quick boost of serotonin, something that'll make you laugh, something that'll make you smile. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love doing it.
That's such a nice, sweet thing to do. And I'll post, I don't know if our other guests that have been on the show have noticed or care, but if listeners are listening, I always post everybody's social links in the description on our page. So you guys can follow her easily from all of the links I will post. And then Zach, where can they find us and you?
You can find us at www.mummydearestpodcast.com. You can find us at Mummy Dearest Podcast on Instagram, and you can find me at Zach Mellon on Instagram.
And you can find me at I Am Sloane Steele and at Oh My Erotica on Instagram. And that's pretty much it. So thank you all so much. You guys, I had such a fun time tonight. Thank you for putting Zach through Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I do respect it. I love it. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
You can't be ugly. Be pretty. It's weird. Like if I can transform her, I would magically change too.